New Year's. The prediction is 63.5 million people will travel 50 miles or more. Now, that would be an increase of 1.7% over last year. AAA says Orlando, Florida is the top vacation destination for the last 2 weeks of December. More news at usaradio.com. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grew up watching, now available on DVD. 20 episodes are yours for just $29.99. That's the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. RetroTelevision.com. Wild Kingdom, featuring Marlon Perkins and all the regular features that made this show a favorite family watching habit. Sorry, phone orders are not available at this low price of $29.99 for 20 episodes. Order this set now and get 3 episodes with famed primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. Order from RetroTelevision.com or go to www.TalkStarRadio.com. Save 25% with the online offering Wild Kingdom from RetroTelevision.com and TalkStar Radio.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. The issue of immigration, both illegal and legal, has gotten a lot of attention in the press recently, partly because George Bush is trying to reintroduce his plan to provide guest workers to try to make all the illegal immigrants, in other words, work here for a little while under the conditions of their employers and then go home. It's an ambitious plan, one I don't think can work, but we're going to discuss that today here on Debate Tuesday with my guest, Martha Zoller. She's the author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for a Divided America. Now, Republicans and Democrats, interestingly enough, are all over the map on immigration. Most Democrats, though certainly not all, want immigrants, legal and legal, to have a chance to succeed in the American dream, a chance to become legal immigrants and perhaps even citizens. Republicans are split. Some support the Bush plan, mostly those that tend to support certain employers who want to hire cheap labor. But there's a large and growing group led by people like Tom Tancredo of Colorado. They want to do things to punish the immigrants themselves, deny them driver's licenses. And there's a whole discussion of whether that makes the situation better or worse. Joining me in this discussion, as I said, is Martha Zoller. She is a talk radio host herself. She has a radio show in the northern Atlanta suburbs, and she's also frequently on righttalk.com. Martha Zoller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be with you today. And I got to tell you, what's interesting about this immigration issue is it's really not partisan. It really depends upon where you live, and it's not just a border state issue anymore. We've got an issue up in Idaho, in Canyon County, Idaho, where it is costing them about $3 million a year to house illegal immigrants in their jail, and so the county commission there is trying to bill the Mexican consulate. I mean, who would think you'd have a Mexican immigration problem in Idaho? But there is, and Gainesville, Georgia, where I live, is the poultry capital of the world, and we have an illegal immigration problem. So it depends upon where you live.
Well, I'll tell you this.
What your view is on that.
I live in Washington, D.C., and just across the river there was a big scandal in northern Virginia, in Herndon, where they had a day laborer site where people, presumably mostly illegal immigrants, would come in and try to get work for the day, and a number of groups like the Minutemen, which is sort of a citizens group, went there and protested this day laborer site. So it's occurring across the border, across the river, I should say, from where I am as well. I agree with you. It's definitely a national problem. Let me let you start and tell me what you like or don't like about the Bush plan, and also please tell me if this is all in your book. If there's not, tell me more about your book and your solution.
Absolutely, and I do have a chapter in my book about immigration, and it's really based upon if we don't like the laws we have, let's change them instead of just ignoring them. Because if we do not have a country that is based on the rule of law, then what do we have? So what I really see is that there's a couple of issues with immigration that everyone should agree on and that should be taken up first, and that's one, border security. If you have better border security, then you're not going to have to deal with the illegal immigrant problem as much in the United States or new illegal immigrants. And as you know, if you live in Virginia or live in D.C., you know that the major problem with illegal immigrants is not necessarily whether they're working or not. It's that they tax, and I mean that in the literal sense, they tax the education system and the healthcare system, because as a country, we're not going to turn people away who are sick, and we're not going to have children walking the street that should be in school. So what happens is local governments are really picking up the biggest cost for illegal immigrants. So number one, you got to take care of border security, and you can do that in a number of ways. You can do that with technology and helping. You can do that with something that Congress is trying to do, which is expanding the uses that governors have of the National Guard on the border. You can do something as simple as expanding training on the border. Anywhere we have military training going on our borders, north or south, it deters people from crossing, and you can protect yourself. So the borders are number one. Number two, there are about 800,000 illegal immigrants that are in this country that have been identified as being violent criminals either in Mexico and other countries they came from or in the United States. We ought to all agree that resources should be spent to make sure that those folks are either serving their sentences or deported out of this country. I think that's a no-brainer, an American principle. The real rubber meets the road and the real disagreement comes on this guest worker program and how you need to deal with this. Because when the president says guest worker, the immigrants hear amnesty.
They hear a chance to succeed.
That's what they hear. And, in fact, border crossings have gone up ever since he started talking about a guest worker program. And that's really where the debate has to happen.
Martha, we have to take a break. What I'd like to do when we come back is I want to break down the issues point by point. Because on some points, like border security, I absolutely agree with you. In fact, I think the president's not doing enough.
Yeah,
on other issues like cost, I have to say I disagree. And I want to get into them sort of piece by piece. I want to talk about crime. And then, of course, we've got to talk about the guest worker program and the chances for immigrants. Because as far as I'm concerned, the problem with having such a guest worker program is it leads to a two status of people in America. You have the people who are citizens who have full rights, and then you have the illegal immigrants who are treated like second-class citizens and can be fully exploited by their employers. And I just don't think that most illegal immigrants would sign up for that. It's not much better than the situation they have right now. So we're going to explore all these issues, and you can explore them with us as well. Just call in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Can't walk.
I can walk, but not very far.
I can't even stand anymore.
And it gave me no freedom.
If you or a loved one suffer from limited mobility, we have incredible news. Now you may qualify for your very own new Invacare power chair or scooter at little or no cost to you. Call Mobility Products Unlimited right now to begin your free pre-qualification process. Invacare's powered mobility products are comfortable, stylish, easy to maneuver, and go anywhere.
And yes, you can get back out there too. With Invacare.
So pick up the phone and call Mobility Products right now, risk-free. Their friendly specialists handle all the paperwork and make it fast and easy to begin the pre-qualification process for your very own Invacare power chair or scooter. You could get yours within just days. There's no pressure, no obligation, no cost for the call. And your satisfaction is guaranteed.
So if you're stuck at home, call 1-800-594-5356 right now. Friendly mobility specialists are standing by.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk,
brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I can't use the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life. Love always, your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food for women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The topic today is illegal immigration, legal immigration to some extent as well. It is becoming a greater problem. At least many Americans think so. George Bush has a guest worker program. And my guest is Martha Zoller. She's the author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for a Divided America. She is a talk radio host herself. And she talked before the break about a number of different issues. And I'd like to try to break them apart, even though I understand that they're all interrelated. Because in some we can find agreement, I think. And some I think we'll definitely find disagreement this debate Tuesday. Let's start, though, with border security. Because I think that's something, as Martha pointed out, that Democrats, Republicans, most of which agree on. I have to say, Bush apparently doesn't want that enough. His latest budget plan funds just 200 of the 2,000 Border Patrol agents that are authorized intelligence reform bill. And Democrats, in fact, on this particular issue, border control, have been pressing the Bush administration, along with many Republicans, to fund all the agents. Martha, I think you can agree with me that the administration is at fault for not funding all the agents here.
Well, I mean, the bill gets passed in Congress, though, okay? And President Bush has not vetoed a bill yet. So
no, I understand, but there's
really needs to put that back in there as far as the agents go. I do agree that there isn't enough funding for Border Patrol agents, but there are a lot of bills moving through Congress right now that have different numbers, 200 to 2,000, and it depends upon, excuse me, which one finally gets passed and out of committee.
Right. I just want to clarify the political point. I just want to clarify the political point because I used to work on the Hill, and I actually know the ins and outs of how this stuff works. What happens is Congress authorizes a certain number of agents, and then it is up to what used to be called the Immigration Naturalization Service. It has two names now, but basically it's up to the immigration authorities under the president to decide how many to actually plan for. Congress, in this particular case, border control, has done its work, and the administration has not. But as you pointed out at the beginning, the issues are much greater than border control. And what's interesting about border control is two things. One, that obviously we have reason to be concerned that, people slipping across our border, we should know who's in this country. And yet, interestingly, there have been no terrorists, at least that we know of as of yet, that have crossed the U.S. border since September 11th.
Mark, it's also about other things. We had, and while this is anecdotal, in the county that we live in, that I live in, and we don't have as many murders as they do in D.C., but we had 15 murders last year in our county. Of the people that were arrested for the murders, and all 15 murders we were able to arrest someone, 10 of those people were illegal immigrants that were here in this country.
Now,
illegal immigrants. Okay, so it was a terrible situation, but it was violence that came here that wouldn't have been here had those folks not been here.
Actually, Martha, I have to disagree with you there. I don't dispute that you're right with regard to your own county, but national studies have shown that actually crime rates go down overall as immigration increases in different neighborhoods. I don't dispute your particular county figures.
I think you would have a lot of question with the development of Hispanic gangs throughout major cities in this country as to whether crime rate is down. Violent crime rates are down. Yes, they are. But you look at issues around gangs and things like that. There are cities and communities in this country, all across this country, that never had a gang problem in their history of their being, and now they have gangs.
Well, all I'm saying is, and I actually will get the figures so that I can give the statistics exactly where it's coming from, but that overall, where immigrants have come, crime rates have gone down. I don't doubt that there are gangs, there are Hispanic gangs. We got our own native-born gangs here, Crips and Bloods and things like that.
I'm not saying that, but you just have to know who is coming and going into this country.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And we definitely have to do our best to control the border, but I think you and I can both agree that it's virtually impossible. I'm not going to say impossible, but virtually impossible, to watch the entire very large border of the United States with Mexico. We could try to put up fences. We could try to keep people from swimming the Rio Grande. But you put a lot of resources in one area and people cross in another area. In the end of the day, Martha, can I get you to agree with me that, in essence, it's supply and demand? Our economy needs low-skilled workers. People in Mexico want better-paying jobs, and they're going to do whatever they can to come here as long as that discrepancy exists, don't you think?
Absolutely, and there are 6 million illegal immigrants today that have gone to the trouble to get tax ID numbers, and they actually file income tax with the IRS. That, you know, that number has been verified over and over again. That's why you have to deal with the enforcement issues of border and people that we know are violent criminals first. Then you go on to the families, and I'll be very honest with you. I think you have to look at that almost on a case-by-case basis, and I want to start with those 6 million folks that are actually filing income tax, because those are the kind of folks you want to grant legal status to.
Well, certainly you do, but I'm not sure if you're agreeing with me, because in my view, I would bring them all out from under the rocks, have them pay taxes, have them get insurance, get their driver's licenses, well, let me just finish, and at the end of the day, allow them to become citizens of the United States, and that's where I'm not sure if you agree with me.
I think if they're willing to be here legally and go through the proper amount of time, take the test, be fluent in English, which is one of the requirements of citizenship, absolutely. I have no problem with that.
Well, let me ask you then.
As many Americans being citizens as possible, as long as they come here legally.
Well, Martha, as long as they come here legally. Well, let's talk about the people that come here illegally, that are working, that have worked sometimes here 10, 15, 20 years. In fact, they do pay taxes because they pay Social Security taxes, as you know, I'm sure you do. One of the main reasons we don't have huge deficits in our Social Security program is because illegal immigrants actually prop up the system by paying Social Security taxes, and they don't get it back.
In the future, right now, we don't have deficits is because none of the baby boomers are
right
at their highest income earning time, and they're not retiring yet.
That's a separate issue,
surplus.
But what I'm saying is that there are hundreds of millions, indeed billions of dollars that are funneled into the Social Security system by illegal immigrants who will never see a dime of it in Social Security
because
they don't get it back.
Taken advantage of by the fact that there are people that take advantage of them because they're illegal.
Exactly.
If they are legal immigrants, then they are in the light of day, and then we will know who they are, and they won't be taken advantage of.
So the question, the upshot of the question is, and I'd like to answer it after the break, Martha, is where we disagree. We both want to see people coming out and being legal immigrants. In my view, the McCain-Kennedy bill, by John McCain, Ted Kennedy, Democrat and Republican, allows these people to live the American dream, to come out, to not be abused by workers, to pay a penalty because they came in illegally, but to come in and join the American system and become citizens. Now, George Bush wants them, apparently, to agree to work here and then thinks they're all going to go back home afterwards. I don't think that's realistic, but I want to hear after the break if you can defend that. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talk Star Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Debate Tuesday, and in the debate over illegal immigration that I'm having with Martha Zoller, a fellow radio host and the author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for Divided America, there are a number of things we agree on. We both agree on there's more need for border security. We both agree that a lot of illegal immigrants are mistreated by employers who know that everything's gone under the table, and we need to bring people into the light of day. We need to legalize their behavior so that it can be monitored and so that people can pay their taxes and become, you know, good-paying American citizens. Where I think Martha and I differ is I think at the end of the day, you have to have that light at the end of the tunnel. You have to allow immigrants a chance to become American citizens. Otherwise, they won't participate. They won't play in the game. Martha, do you disagree?
Well, I tell you, the big problem I have with the Kennedy-McCain Act is it was Ted Kennedy that authored the bill in 1964 that radically changed immigration laws that began us on this path we're on. He also participated strongly in the 1986 Immigration Act, and I think in this case it's two strikes and you're out. We really shouldn't be looking to Ted Kennedy as far as immigration reform is concerned. But no, I don't think the president is saying that he doesn't want people to become citizens, and I don't like the guest worker program as it's presented, because I do agree with you that in 6 years they're just going to stay. They're not going to go somewhere else. But I do think that it's got to be debated, and it's not a Republican conservative. As you see, you got John McCain in there. It's not a Republican-Democrat kind of thing.
So, Martha, what's your solution? Let me hear it. You, by some miracle, are elected president of the United States tomorrow. I don't know how that happens. What is your solution to the problem? Because I think mine is quite different from yours.
Well, I mean, first of all, as I said, border security and doing whatever we have to do, including using National Guard on the border if we have to. I'm not in favor of a fence. Secondly, getting the illegal folks out of there.
How? How do you get illegals out of there? We've tried to do that for decades.
The ones that are felons, and you use local law enforcement because they know where these folks are in most cases, but they don't have the resources to be able to do that. Then the last thing is some sort of guest worker program, more like what John Kyle is doing, where you have some sort of accountability to be able to see who they are and where they're coming from so that they can come back into this country, go back to their home country, get a visa, and come in. And most of these folks travel back to their home country 3 or 4 times a year. So it's not a problem that they can't.
I'm not sure how this is going to work. By the way, we agree on border security, and no one has sympathy for criminals. Frankly, I'd be surprised if Mexico takes some of them that we might want to deport.
They don't.
Exactly.
They don't,
so
they don't want
other than shooting them, we're
not about immigration as we are.
Right, but so you can say we don't want these criminals here, but if no country will take them, other than lining them up and shooting them, there's no answer.
I mean, I don't even have a problem with if they are violent criminals. I'm not talking about just crossing the border or having an illegal driver's license. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about rapists, murderers, armed robbers.
But Martha, what's your solution? I mean, nobody likes these people. No one likes that they're in our country. Yeah, I certainly don't. But if Mexico won't take them, I don't understand your solution.
Well, we may have to incarcerate them here.
Well, of course, but we do that already. We certainly incarcerate violent illegal immigrants. We incarcerate violent American citizens. Obviously, they commit a crime, they go to jail.
It doesn't always happen that way, unfortunately. We had a little girl, 4 years old, Esmeralda Rava, was murdered, raped and murdered by a man who had escaped from Mexico. Mexico would not help to extradite. He'd done the same thing to little girls in Mexico, and he was a day laborer that had been here a week in the United States. And I know those are anecdotal, but those, as you know, are the situations that have power, those kinds of things.
But I guess what I'm trying to understand, Martha, is you and I agree on a lot of the problems here. There's no question that immigrants undercut labor. There's also no question that our economy needs them. But when you're talking about, you know, violent, no one's going to say violent criminals are good. Of course they're bad. What is your solution? Because in terms of violent criminals, I don't see one.
If you can secure the borders, you stop 1 million people a year crossing illegally. Okay, and it's $800,000 to a year. You begin the problem. This is not something that's going to go away overnight. It didn't start here overnight. It's going to take a generation before we get this under control. The 1986 Act that went into place that was basically amnesty took 10 years before we really saw what it was going to happen. But if we don't take action now on the borders and then allow local law enforcement to do their job, and if you talk to local law enforcement in these communities across the country, they will tell you that they are not getting the resources they need to be able to follow up, and usually they have to release a lot of people on their own recognizance. You know,
Martha, we have to take another break. Let me just say, I agree with you on border enforcement. I have criticized the Bush administration for not devoting enough resources to border enforcement, but I don't think that's enough to stop the problem. We'll be right back if you want to call in right after this.
This is Newsbreak. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has reaffirmed the U.S. commitment to the war in Iraq and the greater war on terrorism. Four U.S. soldiers were killed in Iraq today when their patrol hit a makeshift bomb northwest of Baghdad. Former President Gerald Ford has been hospitalized in California for what his office says are routine tests. Ford is 92. President Bush continues his campaign of urging seniors to sign up for the new Medicare prescription drug benefit plan. Federal Reserve has raised interest rates again by 0.25%. Latest rate hike means overnight borrowing costs are now 4.25%. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 56 points to 10,823. The NASDAQ increased 4 points to 2265, while the S&P 500 index was up 7 at 1267. Satellite television provider DirecTV has agreed to pay more than $5 million to settle Federal Trade Commission charges. More news at usaradio.com.
Would you be interested in owning your own executive consulting business in your hometown? You'd be working with local businesses on a no-risk, no-fee contingency basis, helping them get huge refunds on their income taxes, commercial leases, workers' compensation, and four other business expense categories, and also providing them with financial privacy and bulletproof asset protection from lawyers, lawsuits, and seizures. Sharing in the refunds, you could make as much as $10,000 from each client. If you're interested in earning a serious executive income by offering unique, no-risk, and affordable services in tremendous demand, and if you're prepared to make an investment in your own business, part or full-time, then call today for a free DVD hosted by a nationally known celebrity with full information about this limited opportunity. Call 1-800-892-7776. That's 1-800-892-7776. Call anytime, 24 hours. 1-800-892-7776.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network. Researchers have known for some time that if a pregnant woman has too little of the B vitamin called folic acid, her developing fetus is at risk of birth defects. That's why foods have been fortified with folic acid. Now Dutch researchers report that vitamin B12 may also play a key role in preventing some of those defects. Although this study is preliminary, it does suggest that adequate B vitamin levels are crucial for the normal development of the spinal cord and nervous system.
Many people become anxious when a doctor or nurse takes their blood pressure. If the readings are elevated, experts call this white coat hypertension. But what if blood pressure is lower in the doctor's office than at home? Researchers in France have found that home blood pressure readings are a much better predictor of future heart trouble than measurements in the doctor's office. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. In the debate over illegal immigration, I don't think that border control alone is enough. Yes, I support more border control, but we have been doing that a lot. Since the 1970s, when we had about 2,000 people on the border, we now have 11,000. Their budget exceeds $9 billion. We've got everything on the border of the Rio Grande. Stadium lighting, 24/7 remote video monitors. We already have seismic motion detectors all up along the path to the riverbank. And yet, as the Laredo assistant chief, and he knows a lot about it, he's right there in the front lines, George Gunno said, all we can do is manage the border. Even with all the resources in the world, you won't stop the flow. Even if we shut the southern border, they'd come across the northern border and up along the coast. What you have is an economy which the Labor Department has said will add 7 million low-skilled, low-wage jobs every decade, and we only have 600,000 legal immigrants that are allowed to come here. That mismatch in our labor system is what's drawing them. Americans that are born here just don't want to take those jobs, and Americans are hiring illegals in record numbers. Many of the people listening to my voice have hired a maid to clean their home, maybe a gardener, maybe a contractor, and we don't usually ask to see their papers before we hire them because generally the labor is cheap and the labor is good. I don't think border control is enough, and I don't think my guest, Martha Zoller, radio host and author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for Divided America, thinks it's enough either. Do you, Martha?
No, it's not the only thing, but it's where you got to start, because it's the one thing that's enumerated in the Constitution, that we have a responsibility to secure our borders. I tell you, the biggest problem is, and I'll be very honest, Republicans look at illegal immigrants as workers, and Democrats look at them as voters. And what the fact of the matter is, everyone's afraid of what's going to happen to the all-important Latino vote. But what happens is that many of these folks that are legal citizens, were naturalized, they feel as strongly about this as people who are natural-born Americans. And I think that what you have to understand is the rights that are given by the Constitution are not to be given lightly to people, and they're not to be given to people just because they're here in the United States. We didn't do that 100 years ago when we did everything by hand. We shouldn't do that now. My grandmother came over here 100 years ago. She crossed into this country twice. There are written records I can look up where they did this. If we can process 1 million immigrants a year on a 70 million population, which is what it was 100 years ago, we certainly should be able to process that many or more immigrants a year with the technology that we have.
So I'm just trying to understand.
We need to know who these folks are and why they're here.
I have no problem with that.
Overstay their visas.
Okay, I have no problem with letting know who these people are, while they're here, more border security. But unless you let people arrive legally to take the mismatch between supply and demand of labor, they're just going to stream here illegally.
Well, I think that's what the president's talking about when he's trying to put a guest worker program. And I will give the president credit for one thing, is that he did get this debate out into the open. Prior to January 2004, basically, if you brought up the issue of immigration, you were called a racist or a bigot or a xenophobe or whatever the names were. And by him taking this issue on back in January 2004, as well as more recently, he has gotten the debate out into the open where people like you and I are having this debate. And this is the way our country gets things done.
Absolutely. But Martha, I'm trying.
You don't go towards the middle. You make sure you fight your position very hard from the corner you're in. That protects us from tyranny. And then once you have the compromise after that, then you know you've got a law that will work.
Martha, no one disputes how our democracy works. That's all good. But I'm trying to pin you down here, and I admit that. I'm trying to get a very specific plan out of you. Let me tell you my plan.
I don't have a specific plan.
Well, let me tell you my plan, and you tell me what you think's wrong with it.
The legislation has to be written.
Okay, well, and that's my problem, frankly, with a lot of things by certainly the administration of Social Security. They wouldn't give us a plan, and they said, what's yours? Let me tell you mine. Here's my plan. One, increase legal immigration. We need these people. They work hard. They generally bring crime down. They're willing to pay taxes. They're willing to drive with insurance as long as they're given a chance to live the American dream. I have no problem with them being here. If they arrived illegally, that's bad. I want people to respect the law. So I would do something similar to McCain and Kennedy. I would make them pay a penalty to account for their arriving illegally, but at the same time, I would let them go on the path to American citizenship so that they are not mistreated by employers, so we don't have second-class citizens.
And it's not just mistreatment by employers, Mark. There are people within their own communities that provide these illegal documents that do.
Right,
that's not
right. It's like prohibition.
That's
to me,
done by people that bring them across.
Exactly. To me, a lot of it's exactly like prohibition. It seems to me you can manage alcohol, you can have liquor licenses, but trying to ban the entire thing is just impossible.
Well,
and it's impossible in America today to completely ban illegal immigration. So the question is, how do we manage it? We have 8 million, I would think it's 8 million actually, not 6 million, illegal immigrants in this country. Most of them are not criminals. Most of them are working hard. Most of them just want to live the American dream. And what I don't see in all the talk from certainly people like Tom Tancredo or even the president is a solution to manage the problem, to allow these people to live the American dream, to work their hard jobs, and at the same time to show respect for the law.
And I didn't say there were 6 million illegal immigrants. The IRS says there are 6 million illegal immigrants that file with a tax ID number.
Okay.
And because
enough.
The IRS does not share that information under penalty of law, they don't cooperate with anybody on it. But that's their number. 6 million illegal immigrants, people that classify themselves as illegal immigrants, got tax ID numbers and filed taxes. There's certainly more than that.
We agree then.
One thing that has to be changed, too, is the whole if you are born here, you are a United States citizen.
Oh, I strongly disagree with you.
100 years ago, your parents had to be legal residents in order for you to be a citizen when you were born here.
Oh, Martha, I couldn't disagree with you more on that. And, in fact, I'd like to take the conversation there after the break. But before we do that, because I very much want to discuss that, it's all out of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution, let me ask you if you have a problem with my plan, if you will, which is, I think, similar, though not exactly the same as Kennedy and McCain's, the idea of illegal immigrants pay a fine but have a chance to become American citizens. Because to me, if you have guest workers here and generations of guest workers here, you're not going to have people going within the system acting legally so that things can be regulated. You're going to have people in an underclass economy, and it'll be a lot like, frankly, what's going on in France.
Well, I think the key here is how do you make that accountable? How do you be sure they come out and actually do file for and pay this fine? And that's the real problem with any of the plans. How do you be sure that you're actually going to have people comply with the law?
Here's how you be sure. I think that my plan, if you will, I don't want to take full credit for it because the Mark Levine plan or the McCain-Kennedy plan to some extent says that you have a right to the American dream. You eventually, at the end of the day, after jumping through all these hoops, can become an American citizen, can permanently stay here with your family. I believe that the great, great majority of illegal immigrants do not want to commit crimes. They're not part of gangs. They want to be legal citizens, and only because they have to hide all the time are they sort of required, if they want to be here, to break the law. I think that carrot is so strong that the great, great majority of illegal immigrants would sign up for it, and a few that are left and remain in the shadows, we could punish them severely. So I have both carrot and stick.
You know, 1986, though, when we had the 10 years for folks to come out of the shadows, for example, many did, but remember all the hoopla in 1996 about, we didn't give them enough time. There's always going to be illegal immigrants, Mark, no doubt about it. I'm sure there were stowaways through Ellis Island, and there were always going to be problems. But if we just say that the American experience is yours just because you're here, I don't agree with that.
Well, the question is, what is the alternative? Folks, if you want to call in, you're welcome to do so and join this debate. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. When we come back, I want to talk about the provision in the Constitution that says if you're born on American soil, you're an American citizen, and why I support it even if your parents are illegal immigrants. Right back after this.
It's bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma you'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm debating illegal immigration with my honored guest, Martha Zoller. She is a talk show host in the northern Atlanta suburbs and the author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for a Divided America. You know, prior to the Civil War, the question of citizenship in America was a lot more complex than it is today. Slaves certainly weren't citizens, though you could count three-fifths of them as a person for purposes of determining congressional representation, as well as you could include Indians that were taxed, but not Indians that weren't taxed. The main thing is, prior to the Civil War, if you're born on American soil, you were not necessarily an American citizen. The 40th Amendment to the United States Constitution changed all that and says that anyone born or naturalized in the United States is an American citizen. What that means is, and what people have often complained, is that if you got an illegal immigrant who's a pregnant woman and she walks across the Rio Grande and gives a baby right there in Texas, that baby is an American citizen. And a number of people want to change that. Here's why I don't. I like the Constitution as it is because I think it gives everyone a stake in America. I myself have lived in Europe. I lived in Switzerland for a year. And I know that in Switzerland, in France, in Italy, you have all these guest workers, Germany too, people where you have generations of people from Turkey. They never become citizens, and they are much less likely to join in the national culture. They keep apart because they are not treated as full citizens. I did an entire program last week on why I think there have been no American Muslim terrorist attacks. I think it's because American Muslims feel like they are part of America and part of the American dream, and that's why I don't like the idea of sort of a second-class citizenship with a guest worker program. Martha, the floor is yours. You disagree?
Well, I do think that there have been times in our country. In fact, it was Harry Truman that expanded the definition of being born in this country to the ships in the harbors. So we have taken liberties to what that actually means. And, in fact, up until about 1920, your parents had to be legal residents of the United States in order for you to be a citizen of the United States. They considered you almost like property to your parents. Now, we don't want to go back to those days, but I do think there has to be an issue around whether, if you are legal status and you have a child in this country, whether they are a U.S. citizen, because what happens is the biggest problem for immigration services is mixed status families. And typically what happens is the father is legal status, the mother is not, the children are mixed status. Some are not and some are. And it creates a terrible problem because our immigration policy is based upon keeping families together, not splitting them apart. So I do believe that it should be changed, that you have to have legal status in this country in order for your child that's born here to be a U.S. citizen. But it gets back to the whole issue of legal immigration versus illegal immigration. I don't want to cut off immigration. Heck, my grandmother was an immigrant. My great-grandparents on the other side were immigrants.
Can you agree with me we should increase
immigration? I have to know who these people are, especially in a post-9/11 world.
Let's get some agreement, Martha. Do you agree with me we need to increase legal immigration to this country?
Yeah, I have no problem with increasing legal immigration.
Okay, that's good. Let me ask you this. Do you think that illegal immigrants who are here, do you think that we can realistically deport all 8 million of them, or that Bush's amnesty program will succeed in getting, let's say, more than half of them to be legalized?
No, we can't deport them, and I can't comment on the numbers. If you look at the 1986, I guess, is the best example in most recent history, and it was probably about 50-50, so you're probably right there, because some people aren't going to come out of the shadows at all because they don't want, you know, most workers work and want to pay taxes. In fact, the illegal immigrants that have called into my show, and I have no reason to believe they're not telling the truth, okay, because why would you call in and subject yourself to that? if you weren't telling the truth. You know, they have said they want to be legal. They
I think they do.
They want to find out what process they have to come through to be a legal immigrant.
But you support an idea of a guest worker program, right? I mean, you support
I
the idea.
I support the idea of a guest worker program, but, you know, as you know, if you worked on the Hill, the devil's in the details.
Well, that's true.
And, you know, I mean, you can. We can all support a lot of things.
Well, but let me ask you about a guest worker program. I mean, the heart of the whole phrase, guest worker program, the heart of the plan is that immigrants can come here for a period of years, and they can stay only if their employer allows them to stay, which means that their employer basically can say, you know, I'll pay you below minimum wage, and if you don't like it, I'm firing you, and you'll be immediately deported.
That, you know what? In most parts of the country, because illegal immigrants work so much in certain jobs like construction and a lot of others. Now, of course, that's not true to the second generation. They move. Latinos, and we're talking mostly Latinos here, but it's not all Latinos, but it's mostly Latinos. They move up in median income faster than almost any immigrant group has ever moved up.
And to me, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, to me, that's the American dream.
That's a great thing, and they go into the middle class. But I got to tell you, what has to happen is that we just know who is coming and going, and we shouldn't be opposed to that.
But see, Martha, you're not getting disagreement with me on that, okay? I mean, let's focus on where we disagree. I certainly agree with border controls. I agree with knowing who's coming and going. But the heart of my, I think, disagreement with you is that I don't like a guest worker program because I don't think an immigrant will come out of the shadows if all they're going to get is to be in this country at the pleasure of their employer, and then they have to leave after 3 or 6 years anyway. It seems to me that an immigrant who knows at the end of the day they have the American dream, at the end of the day they can become a citizen, they can choose among different employers, that's the immigrant that's going to come out of the shadow and be legal.
Let's be a pragmatist here. It would be great if I could be president tomorrow and fix this problem, or you could be president tomorrow and fix this problem. It's probably likely, Mark, that we're not going to be able to do much about the illegal immigrants that are already here because they are so entrenched in the system that we just have to guard as much as we can as good human beings to be sure that they're not taken advantage of. And they are going to work into our life very quickly because they do move up in income and into the middle class much faster than any group that's ever preceded them. However, I'm a pragmatist. We may not be able to fix that problem. Maybe we're trying to fix something that can't be fixed. But you can stem the flow of illegal immigration, and down the road for your children and my children, we won't be having this debate.
Well, let me ask you this. Given that illegal immigrants are here, and given, as you agree, that it's very hard to send them all back or even the majority of them back, what about things...
I'm suggesting at all.
I understand that. Let me ask you this. What about things like driver's licenses, which the Republican Congress has tried to deny?
You have to have some sort of legal documentation to be able to have a driver's license.
Okay, but how about a two-tier driver's license? How about if we have a driver's license where you mark a big C for American citizens, but also allow a driver's license for undocumented immigrants so that they can buy insurance, and if there's an accident and someone hits me,
the visa situation, and you can get insurance, by the way, if you are an illegal immigrant, it just costs a lot more money. But I think it was either Arnold Schwarzenegger or some other governor suggested, and again, this ties back to documentation, is that we ought to have an expiration date on these driver's licenses that coincides with their visa.
Take another break. I'm sorry. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with the conclusion of Debate Tuesday on illegal immigration right after this.
Hey, where were you last year?
What happened to your hair?
Are you contagious? How come you're always tired?
If you think going back to school is tough for an 8-year-old, imagine doing it while recovering from cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Tired of losing in the casinos and being in the hole? Learn how to win at Blackjack with Blackjack for Winners. Call 1-800-214-7012, 1-800-214-7012. This is the DVD the casinos do not want you to see. According to Tommy Hyland, a legendary blackjack professional, this DVD teaches an easy way to count cards and beat the casinos at their own game of blackjack. It takes only 3 easy steps. 1, basic strategy. 2, card counting. And 3, money management. It's just that easy to beat the casinos at their their own game of blackjack. Order right now and you'll receive two instructional DVDs, 52 flashcards making basic strategy a snap, and a reference card you can take into the casinos with you. All of this for only $29.95 plus shipping and handling. Order today at 1-800-214-7012. 1-800-214-7012. Start learning to win at Blackjack today with Blackjack for Winners. 1-800-214-7012. 1-800-214-7012.
Medulloblastoma, hyperdiploidy, posterior mediastinum, Shimada classification. When an oncologist talks to you about childhood cancer, it could sound like a foreign language. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only about 4 minutes left in our program. I want to get our honored guest, Martha Zoller, who is a Northern Atlanta talk show host and the author of Indivisible, Uniting Values for Divided America. I want to ask two brief questions that have come up in this context. One is day laborer sites. We had a big battle just across the river from Washington, D.C. in Virginia. A number of Minutemen were trying to shut down day laborer sites. I happen to believe I have no problem with day laborer sites. In fact, I think if you have a specific site regulated by the state where you have bathroom facilities and a place for people to sit down, then actually it gets people out from congregating in all kinds of areas. It brings it out to the light of day. I think it's a good thing. I want to ask you about that. I also want to ask you about the idea of punishing employers. It seems to me that if you punish the employers who are trying to hire illegal immigrants, that's a better way of preventing illegal immigration than punishing the immigrants themselves. Martha?
Absolutely. I think the whole idea of forced speech day labor sites are a Band-Aid measure because the federal government's not doing what they're supposed to do. But I don't have a problem with them because it's much safer than folks being on the road, and we deal with that where I live all the time. You come out off an expressway, and you've got folks standing in the road, and that is not a safe thing to do. I think it's unfortunate that this has had to happen, this day laborer site, but I think it's a good Band-Aid measure. As far as the other question is concerned,
punishing employers.
What it was.
Punishing employers.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you have given them the tools where they can make sure that the documentation is correct, if they don't do that, then there should be big fines on them. Just the way old immigrants used to have a sponsor. We don't require that anymore, but the employer is kind of like a sponsor. It's their responsibility to be sure that the person's legal. I'm for enforcing the law.
Well, Martha, I tell you, we agree on a lot of things, probably more than I thought we would when I began this conversation. I'm very thankful you came here.
The chapter is great on this.
Let me ask you this. In your book, Indivisible, Uniting Values for a Divided America, what is the heart of the book? Is it about multiculturalism? Is it broader than that?
Oh, no, it's not about multiculturalism at all. It's about the fact that we have values as Americans that unite us regardless of what our labels are. And that if you really sit across the kitchen table like you and I just did and talk about issues, regardless of what you might call yourself, I'm assuming you may be a little more liberal than I am on most issues, but we found that we have a lot of common ground because we took the labels away and we talked about the issues.
Well, I agree with you. And in fact, one of the reasons why I have Debate Tuesday every Tuesday is to invite people on the air. And we found that we do agree about a lot of things, whether it's the war in Iraq. Democrats and Republicans both want democracy. We might disagree on how to get there, but if it's immigration, all of us want lower crime. We want to legalize, at least regularize the problem and not let immigrants be mistreated. At the same time, we understand they undercut labor, and it's a problem in America. So I have to agree with you. We do get a lot in common. Let me just ask you as a concluding statement about multiculturalism, because some people on the right, and I'm not saying you, but Tom Tancredo, for example, has called the immigration threat a threat to Western civilization. I happen to believe that the diversity of America, all our different cultures, makes us strong. And one of the reasons why we're successful, where France and Germany and some other countries aren't, because we allow everyone to both be American and to maintain their home culture. I'd like to know if you agree or disagree.
You know, as long as we have that distinct American culture, it's very important that English be the language that everyone speaks when they're talking about medical records, when they're talking about state records, when they're talking about those kinds of things that we do. But I'm a a capitalist. So if you want to have a store that has Spanish signs in it, because that's the customer that you have, that's fine with me too. I'm a capitalist. I'm a free market person, and I believe that we have to have an American culture that we certainly welcome all cultures because something is brought to it. I mean, I still celebrate some German customs.
And I think that's
my family hasn't been in Germany in three generations, but I'm an American.
That's part of what it makes America strong. And the question of English only is actually an interesting question. I think it's a separate one. In my view, there's no problem providing people services in their own language, but I do think in order to become an American citizen, you should speak English. I have no problem with that. And I'm proud to say, if you look at Latino immigrants like the German and other immigrants before, by the second, third generation, they generally all speak.